Welcome back to the podcast. Last week, we talked about ways to come up with your name for your business, and I hope you have two or three really solid ideas. This week, we're going to talk about your business name on the internet. Now, this is really important. This is how your customers are going to find you. Yellow pages are long gone. Billboards are way too expensive. And honestly, they don't cover a very big area. The World Wide Web literally covers the world. So you need to be there. To get there, you need to have a good domain name. Last week, we used Joe's Cabinet Shop as an example. We need to get that registered. What do I mean by register? You need to tell the powers that be that run the internet that you have the name Joe's Cabinet Shop. And the way we do this is through a registrar. This is a company that throws all the switches and fills in all the blanks, crosses the T's, dots the I's, so that the internet will function. You know that there are different types of domain names out there. .com is probably the most popular, certainly for business. There's also .net, .edu, .gov, so on and so forth. These are called the top-level domains, TLDs. A few years ago, they opened up a whole bunch of other domain extensions. .shop, .club, .food, there's hundreds of them. And I don't want you to really mess with those very much. The top-level domains is still where it's at. Those other domains are very good for very, very focused. Like if you have a woodworking club, that would be a perfect opportunity to get the domain joeswoodworking.club. That would work. I still kind of a traditionalist. I still really, really think that a business should go after the .com domain. So that's what we're going to focus on. So how do we actually go about doing this? There are a ton of different registrars out there. You've probably heard of like GoDaddy or Dotster or Google Domains or just a ton of other ones. I tend to go with Google Domains. I went through this summer. I had a whole bunch of domains that I needed to get off of one company, and because their service had just gone to literal crap. And I landed on Google Domains. $12 a year, pretty easy to use. Just explore. There's a whole bunch of them out there. You might want to do like 10 best domain registrars, you know, in a Google search engine, and see what you come up with. It's really important that you own your domain. There's another way you can do this, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but when you start to set up your web page, if you hire someone to do it, or if you go to one of the services like Wix, they will offer you a domain name. Sometimes they'll offer it even free. But you have to be really, really careful because sometimes they actually own that domain name and you are simply renting it. And if something happens, you want to move your website, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, it can get really, really sticky. So my advice is to own your own domain on your own registrar. You control that. Nobody else does. So, for instance, let's say you pick Google Domains. You go in, you fill out what the domain will be. If it's not available, it will pop up and say, this domain is not available. Oh, bummer. And it will give you options, you know, .com, .net, .org, .club, so on and so forth. You want that .com. If you can't get the .com, I would suggest tweaking the name. be very careful about doing things like joes-cabinetshop.com. That gets really hard for people to remember. You have to remember to put it on every single written document, and it just becomes awkward. Just a nice, super simple something.com. That's what you're after. So let's say that you can get joescabinetshop.com and you start filling out all the forms, and there will be some things in there that you can't, like they'll ask you, you know, what host do you want us to point us to? Just leave that blank. Go through and enter your credit card information and click the final submit button, and boom, you have a business domain name. Congratulations, you are in business. Well, almost. One thing I haven't talked about yet in your naming convention is the legal structure of your business. There are basically four different types of legal structures available for businesses in the U.S. Sole proprietorship is probably by far and away the most popular. You could have a limited liability partnership. You could have a limited liability company, an LLC, or you could be a corporation, probably an S corp, subchapter S. I qualified this show in that I'm only going to speak about setting up a solo, one-person woodworking business. So that immediately eliminates the limited liability partnership. You have no partners. This is a single-person, you know, operation. I am not a tax accountant, a tax advisor, a lawyer, anything like that. What I have read and people I have talked to, the general rule of thumb is that sole proprietorship is the simplest, the most cost-effective way of setting up a business, with the caveat that down the road, when you start making some money, and by that, people have told me around between $50,000 and $75,000, then you start thinking about setting it up as a corporation, an S-corp. But there's a lot more cost. There's a lot more legal obligations. You're going to have a lawyer to help you with this. And the cost benefit doesn't really break even until you get over that $50,000, $60,000, $70,000revenue line. So just kind of food for thought. Again, I am not, accountant, tax advisor, lawyer. Talk to your tax accountant, lawyer, so on and so forth, your pro team, and listen to their advice. So from now on, we're going to talk about basically a sole proprietorship. Super simple to set it up. You hang out your shingle. After you've jumped through some of the fiery hoops that we'll talk about next podcast, but you've got your domain name. That's what I want to concentrate on in this episode. Why do you need that domain name? Well, you need it for a website. Why do you need a website? Well, that's where you will have a web presence. Why do you need a web presence? Because that's the way the world works now. Yellow pages are long gone, and for people to find you, they're going to find you on the internet. I think there's five really good reasons for having a website. Some people have heard or believe that, you really don't need a website for the type of business you're doing. I disagree 1,000%. Number one reason for having a website, legitimacy. I don't think you should call yourself a business if you don't have a website. Plain and simple. And no, Facebook doesn't count. Sorry. If you have a Facebook page and that's what you're relying upon, you have a hobby. You don't have a business. You need to have that web page. Anybody who has heard of you or seen any of your advertisement will go to your web page to see what you're all about. If you don't have one or they land on a Facebook page, curtains for you. Could you function with just a Facebook page? Yeah, sure. I think you're going to leave a lot of money on the table and a lot of really, really good work on the table if you don't have a web page. Reason number two, I just mentioned, this is how people find you. They get onto Google or some other search engine and type in what they need, and you want your name to pop up. If you have a Facebook page, it's not going to pop up. Reason number three, free advertising. This is your page. You can put on there whatever you want. This is your billboard. If you want to run a sale on dining room furniture refinishing for the month of November, 10% off, you can put that on your webpage. If you want to do a 2-for-1 sale on widgets, you can put that on your webpage. If you want to advertise in the local newspaper or social media that you're running a special 2-for-1 offer on widgets, for more information, see my webpage. If people want to know your hours of operation, see my webpage. If people want to figure out where you are located, see my webpage. Everything operates off that webpage. Reason number four, this is your castle. You own this. If you're on Facebook and Facebook decides to do something really screwy and decides that they don't like you anymore, they just eliminate you. You're gone. You're poof. You're history. There's countless stories about people who were running really good businesses. I mean, they were bringing in some serious coin. They were making their living off of other platforms, you know, Facebook, Etsy, Amazon, and something happened, very often not even their own fault, and boom, they're gone. They're history. What are they doing? They're sitting staring at four walls with no business, nor any way of getting business. So this is your foundation. If everything else fails, you still have that website. You can sell through that website, which is my reason number five. You can make connections. You can answer questions. People can find out your email. They can find out your phone number. They can communicate with you. You can answer their questions. You can make sales. You can even have your own storefront on your website and sell things directly off that website. You're not dependent upon anyone else. Other sales channels we'll get into in a future podcast, but those are my five reasons why you really, really need to have that website. So, how do you get a website? Well, I think there's three basic ways of doing that. Number one, in no particular order, you can build it yourself. Back in the early days of the internet, there was a bunch of people who clamored to website programming. They learned HTML and CSS and some other languages, and they would build their own website. Those days are pretty much gone. If those are skills that you have, go for it. You will have the maximum control, the least upfront expense, but it is going to be kind of time intensive. I build my own websites just kind of as a mental exercise, kind of clean the sawdust out from between the ears. I enjoy it. And I've been doing it since, well, the early days of the internet. I don't think I would recommend someone, unless they're like under the age of 25, to learn HTML, CSS, PHP to build your own website. Young people can pick this stuff up super quick. Older folks, not so much. Unless you have a real propensity for that, I wouldn't recommend you go out and learn how to do this unless you just have this desire to, maybe this is the excuse that you can use to get into, you know, website programming, something you may have always wanted to do. A more practical way of getting a website is what I call canned sites. These are companies that have set up widgets that allow you to go in and build a website without really knowing any programming language, HTML, so on and so forth. Examples of these would be WordPress, which I'm sure most people have heard, Wix, and Shopify. All of these companies, well, with the exception of probably WordPress, are going to require a monthly fee. And it could be like $10 a month all the way up to $30 a month for most websites. These are actually a very good cost-effective way of getting a website. You don't need a lot of programming knowledge. They handle the web hosting and all of the back-end stuff, the stuff that, from experience, you can literally pull your hair out over. It's a very clean, very satisfying, I think, a very good way of developing your website. Again, those are the top three. There are others out there. You just need to do a little bit of research. I'm not a big fan of WordPress. I think their designs are ugly and just kind of poor functionality. Let's just leave it at that. You have to be a little careful with these canned programs because, in my experience, they don't have the best search engine optimization or SEO. Right to the point where there's other applications that you can get a subscription to that will improve your SEO, but that's kind of going down a rabbit hole a little bit, and I don't want to go there. Just you know, give these a lot of considerations. The third way of doing this is hiring someone to build your website. Typically, these are internet marketing firms, sometimes advertising firms. You're going to pay someone to build a website. If you have a son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, niece, nephew who is in this type of thing, talk to them about it. It might be a wonderful project for them. Don't be terribly surprised that when they graduate high school and they're off to college or some other endeavor that they kind of lose interest in it and you could be left wanting. There's local businesses in most, you know, towns and cities that can do this at a pretty reasonable expense. Some of them could be $500-$600 a year. Some could be $5,000-$6,000 a year. And you kind of get what you pay for. Some of the real big firms, they're really big firms, and there's a lot of overhead. And I think you pay for that. If you're really big dollar, you know, corporation, I think it's well worth it. You know, for a small shop, maybe not. So you're going to have to look around there and find someone that could do a good job for you. And just kind of a tip on here, you have to know what you want before you can ask someone to build it. So there's a lot of head scratching, a lot of design elements that go into that. It all comes down to you. What do you want in a website? I recommend people get a yellow pad and draw a website. You want your title up here. You want it to look like this. You want your graphic over here. You want it to look like this. You want the navigation bar here, and you want these different, you know, pages on your navigation bar, so on and so forth. You know, give the designer some idea of what you're looking for. The last thing to consider about your web page is that you need a host for your web page. So you got your domain from your registrar. Now you need someone to host or to house your web page. And these are, you know, internet web page hosting services. Again, there's a ton of them out there. Probably my two favorite is Bluehost and Google. Not that I'm in love with Google, but, you know, they're kind of the evil empire that I know, as opposed to the one that I don't. Again, shop. Go on to your favorite search engine, Google, and 10 best website hosting platforms, and you'll get a list. And just go through there, see what people are saying, see what the reviews are like. I'm old and old-fashioned. I like to see a phone number. I like to call and actually talk to people that I'm wanting to do business with. And I think there's a lot of value for that 1-800 number right there on the front of their webpage that they're inviting you to make contact with them. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. Do you need a website tomorrow? No, not at all. There's a lot more elements that we're going to have to go through before you can really, you know, start making money at your new endeavor. The website's important. I want you to think about it, but put it on your to-do list. Now we need to talk about social media. Social media, things like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Google My Business, and LinkedIn, I think are absolute must-have accounts. Caveat, I think you should have these accounts. I don't think you should be doing everything in every account. In other words, get on Facebook, create an account for your business. Get on Instagram, create an account for your business. Facebook owns Instagram, so they kind of work hand in hand. Get a Twitter account in your name. Go on to Pinterest, set up an account in your business name. Same thing with YouTube. Same thing with Google My Business. And the last one, LinkedIn, set up a business account. Not that you're going to be posting or using these things every day, but you want to own that real estate. It's kind of like the domain name. If you own it, even if you're not using it, no one else can come in and grab it, because you don't want to get into a, well, I've had my website since, you know, 2001, but I didn't have the Twitter account. Now somebody has a Twitter account, but now we're in conflict because we both have the same name, and he's in New Jersey and I'm in California, but this is causing a real problem. You don't want to have that inconsequential conflict. So register those names, get them in your name, and you're not going to have to worry about that down the road. As far as using social media, I am not a big Facebook fan. I have an account. I don't do anything with it. I have accounts on everything else that we mentioned here. Honestly, and you can probably chastise me for this, I don't do very much on them. They take up a lot of time. And people that I used to follow on some of these platforms, it seems like the only thing that they were actually doing was posting on all the social media accounts. When do you have time to actually get any work done? The advice that I have learned from, you know, people who do social media as a profession is to pick one or two of the social media platforms and use those. It's better to use one very well than to use six not well at all. So that's my 2 cents. Other things kind of related to social media are databases, and this would be like Yellow Pages or YP.com. Yeah, they still exist on the internet. They offer free listings, and you need to go on, establish an account, enter your information, because if you don't do that, they will do it for you. And the way these database websites work is that they crawl other databases and scrape information from other sources and then just build one for you. Facebook does this. YP does this. In fact, most of these things will do that. You need to be in control of that. Don't let it up. Don't leave it to some computer to do this for you. You need to control it. So Yellow Pages or YP.com, Yelp. I'm sure you've heard about. I know, it's more for restaurants and auto body shops and mechanics and things like that, but you need to be there too. One thing with Yelp, as soon as you sign up, you'll start getting phone calls from salesmen wanting to sell you stuff. And I have not participated in that. I have the free listing and nothing else. Manta is a more of a business-oriented database that a lot of businesses use to research other businesses. And again, you need to go on there and sign up. That's Manta, MANTA.com. And you're controlling the information they have. They're not either guessing or scraping off from some other database that may or may not actually have correct information. There's a whole bunch of homeowner-oriented databases. House is a big one. Home Advisor, you've probably heard of. Angie, which used to be Angie's List. They all have databases that they will put you in if you want to or not. So again, sign up for the free version and control the information. And again, you're going to probably get phone calls from salesmen. It's just part of that doing business. If you want to take advantage of that, you can. There's some pros and cons, caveats. Maybe I'll do a future podcast on that. Just be careful that you don't give up a whole bunch of money and see very little return. The last thing that I really want to talk about is your email address. If you are still joe4726@aol.com and you just started Joe's Cabinet Shop, that email address doesn't really inspire confidence in me. Now, joe@joescabinetshop.com, okay, here's a person that has something going on, and I can remember it. Oh yeah, just email Joe. What's his email address? Oh, it's simple, joe@joescabinetshop.com. Oh, I can remember that. So, you know, keep it simple. There are several different ways of doing this. Typically, whenever you have your website set up, you can list joe@joescabinetshop.com. I'm lazy, and personally, I use Gmail. I have several different websites that I have aliases set up that, or actually, it's more of a forwarding function that if somebody sends email to roger@hoosierwoodworks.com or roger@workingatwoodworking.com, it actually is rerouted into my Gmail, so I can see all of them at one place. It's convenient. I'm lazy. I like to do things simply. So that works. I think that's about all I have for you this week. Next week, we're going to talk about banking and insurance. Yay! That's a lot of fun. Not really, but very, very necessary. And I have some advice that can make your life simple and keep you out of hot water with certain people that you don't want to be in hot water with. So that wraps up this podcast, and I hope you got a lot out of it. And during the podcast, during recording, I had a phone call from a lady who wanted me to repair a rocking chair for her. I can't do it. I'm swamped. And I referred her to one of the other companies in the county who is doing this. They have employees, and they have a little faster, you know, follow-through than I do. So the need is out there, folks, and I really hope that some of you guys get up and off the ground and can help people like the lady who just called me. So happy woodworking. Till next time.